Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are of course going to be talking about Elon Musk's Twitter poll over the weekend asking the general public if he should sell 10% of his Tesla stock and pay some taxes on those gains. There's kind of a lot to unpack there, so we'll do that in very simple terms. I think it'll be easy to understand, but I actually think that's not really the biggest news that we got today or over this weekend, because we've got some really, really interesting and exciting numbers coming out of China. We'll go through what those might mean. And then we've got a decent amount of other news too. We've got updates from analysts on their price targets, a new street high price target. We've got news on the Tesla Semi, some news on energy, and a few other things as well. All right, so looking at the stock, pretty unsurprisingly, a tumultuous start to the week today. Tesla finishing down 4.9% after Elon's tweets this weekend, closing at $1,162 even. Tesla opened down 6 or 7% today, but did recover a bit throughout the day, only to drop off in the last half an hour, which I thought was a little bit surprising since you get kind of some of the overreaction maybe out of the way. But always good to consider the macro environment for context. And the Nasdaq did drop pretty sharply in that last half an hour, so I think Tesla probably just following that to some extent. Obviously, I don't mean that for the day overall. The Nasdaq did finish slightly up on the day, just saying directionally for that last bit of trading. All right, so getting into this tweet, Elon on Saturday saying, "Much is made lately of unrealized gains being a means of tax avoidance, so I propose selling 10% of my Tesla stock. Do you support this?" With the choices being yes and no. And of course, as we know by now, yes did win with a total of 58% of the vote. So this has certainly been a heightened topic over the last couple of months, taxes on billionaires in general, especially as the budget gets worked through in Congress. Elon has engaged on it a number of times now. And at least my perception has been that he's been a little bit frustrated just in terms of the narrative out there that he's avoiding taxes or not paying his fair share or something like that. So at least to me, my initial reaction was that Elon was getting so frustrated with that that he just says, fine, like I'll sell some stock, pay some taxes, and we can be done with it. Even though this was a poll, which makes it kind of seem like Elon is leaving it up to chance, and he did say he'd abide by the results of the poll, by the time he said that, and just even based on how the poll is structured, I think he probably had a pretty good idea of which direction this was going to go. So that kind of played into my initial reaction that this felt like Elon just giving in. And we've certainly seen Elon make tweets out of frustration before, so to me, this initially came off like that, and that's why I voted no, because I didn't want those external pressures to be overly influential on a decision like this. Certainly, if Elon wants to sell a small portion of his stock, I think that's totally fine, wouldn't have any issues with that. But if it was just because of external pressures, then I would not be in support. However, upon further reflection, as I said, I think Elon had a pretty strong idea of which way this was going to go, and I'm sure he was ready for either outcome. But the more I think about it, the more I think that Elon is just being opportunistic here and pretty creatively using this poll as a way to shape the narrative for something that Elon was kind of intending to do anyway. Now, the reason I say that is because we already knew that Elon was planning on selling some stock. He mentioned that explicitly in the Code Conference interview with Kara Swisher, talked about having a bunch of options expiring next year, so he'd have to exercise them and pay taxes in Q4. And he even mentioned the 53% tax rate that he expects to have to pay. So even with that little bit of context, this already seems much less surprising, and that only continues as we better understand the structure of the options that Elon was talking about. That'll be pretty simple, but just to set the context to you, I think it's helpful to understand what Elon means when he says 10%. So if we look at Tesla's financial filings, we can see that Elon has 170.5 million shares, and then at the end of last year, the right to another 56.6 million shares from options that have been vested, so earned, but not yet exercised. So in total, that's 227 million shares, and we'll come back to that. Also in the filings, we can see how those options are broken down. So if we look at the last line here for Elon, you can see that 22.8 million of those unexercised options come from the 2012 performance plan. That was a 10-year plan created back in August of 2012. So the expiration date is August 13th, 2022. So this is the chunk that Elon was talking about at that Code conference. So let's take a look at the mechanics of that 2012 performance award. Based on the number of milestones from that plan that were achieved, Elon has the right to purchase or exercise 22.86 million shares, and the price that he has the right to purchase those for is $6.24 per share. So hey, not a bad deal, right? When the stock is now trading at $1,162 per share. So if Elon does choose to exercise this right, which of course he would, it would cost him $143 million to exercise all of those shares. That cash actually goes to Tesla. Those shares are accounted for in the diluted share count. They will be created and given to Elon in exchange for that cash. But because those shares are worth about $26.5 billion, that creates taxable income for Elon equivalent to the value of those shares minus the exercise price times the number of shares. So $26.43 billion in taxable ordinary income. It's not capital gains because it's a stock award rather than stock that Elon had previously purchased. So at the 53% tax rate that Elon mentioned, which is a combination of federal and California taxes, California because that's where the options were earned, that would mean that exercising these options at Tesla share price today would result in a $14 billion tax bill for Elon Musk. Just to cover those taxes, Elon would need to sell 12 million of these newly exercised shares out of the 23 million total. Now, sure, Elon could pay the taxes with other resources, or he could take out debt with a margin loan to pay those taxes. And kind of interestingly, Elon did actually do that once when exercising a small portion of this 2012 performance plan previously, but that was for a much, much smaller amount than we're talking about here. And obviously, a lot of Elon's wealth is locked up in unrealized gains. He doesn't just have $14 billion sitting there in cash in a bank account, so the alternative is taking on debt. And doing that leaves you with a liability as well as debts that need to be serviced somehow at some point. So Elon's already got a huge stake in Tesla. A lot of that is going to be locked up for a long, long period of time. For instance, the 2018 CEO performance plan, that's going to be 100 million shares. Elon's going to get all those. He won't have to exercise them until 2028. And those actually require a 5-year holding period post exercise. So he's already got a huge stake locked in through likely 2033. And there may be another CEO compensation plan coming soon since this one is almost already entirely met. We'll just have to see. So I really can't fault Elon for not wanting to take on debt to get even more Tesla stock. So at a minimum, selling 12 million shares there to pay those taxes, to me, makes complete sense. We're then back to that opening question of, okay, what actually is the 10% then? And if we use that base share count of 170 million, well, then that 17 million shares would be 10%. If we include those options that are vested but not yet exercised, then that brings us up to that 227 million, which this set of expiring options that we're talking about happens to be 10.007% of. So this is where it gets fascinating, and I think there are a couple of kickers that tie everything all together here. My bet is that Elon, when he says 10%, is referring to that 22.8 million shares from this options package. And the kicker here is that Elon Musk's tax bill, which is how this is sort of presented, does not actually change at all whether he sells zero of these exercise shares or whether he sells all of them. Remember, when Elon exercises, it gets taxed as ordinary income, and that effectively resets the cost basis for whatever shares then end up being held to whatever the price is after exercise. So if you just go ahead and sell those shares right away, there's no further tax because there is no further capital gain. And the tax has already been paid at a higher rate as income for the difference between the $6 exercise price and the $1,100 share price. So basically, Elon's got to pay this $14 billion in tax regardless, and if we extend that cost basis logic, really the only decision left is if Elon wants to have that remaining amount in cash, or if he wants to use what could have been cash to essentially own Tesla shares with a cost basis of whatever that day's price is. Whichever he chooses has no impact on the tax that he pays, so it's actually an extremely good liquidity opportunity for Elon. And when you further extend this logic, the only question is if Elon wants to use that liquidity on something else or effectively buy Tesla stock at today's prices. Given how much Elon already has tied up in Tesla and the illiquidity of that, I certainly can't fault Elon for essentially taking a once-in-a-decade forced liquidity event and saying, I'm not just going to immediately pour all that right back into Tesla. So then thinking about Elon's Twitter poll again, certainly he realizes all these things. And that's where I come back to Elon likely expecting this outcome and using it as an opportunity to generate interest and an opportunity to redirect a narrative that I think Elon has been unhappy with. The other kind of small kicker here is that if I'm right about what Elon is referring to as 10% of his share count, then, well, it really isn't 10% because the numbers that we were talking about were as of the year end last year. And so far this year, three more tranches of the 2018 CEO performance plan have been achieved. So that earns another 25 million shares for Elon, meaning if he does sell these roughly 23 million shares, that's only about 9%. And obviously at this point, it looks highly likely that the entirety of the 2018 plan is going to be achieved. So factoring that in, this is only going to end up being about 7.5% rather than 10% of Elon's shares. Plus, as I said before, we may end up seeing another performance plan for Elon relatively soon. So I know that was a lot of detail, but hopefully that helps people understand the situation that Elon is in much better. It's definitely not anything that I find concerning as a shareholder. Obviously, there would be a little bit of pressure on the share price when Elon does try to sell these shares, and we'll just have to see what that ends up looking like. I do think he'll try to do it this year because if he waits until next year, there is that proposed surtax in the budget reconciliation plan, which obviously could still change, but if that does happen, that would be another 8% tax, which at today's prices would cost Elon another $2 billion in taxes. So I'm not sure exactly what process Elon needs to follow to be able to sell these shares. But remember, he did specifically say Q4 when talking about it previously, so that does seem to be the intent. It is also probably worth mentioning that if Elon did intend to hold the shares that remained after taxes, then the share price doesn't really end up mattering too much because you still have to sell effectively the same amount of shares and then you're just holding the rest. There'd be some small differences, and I suppose a higher share price could be a bit better because it would give you a higher cost basis if you ever sold later. Would probably have to run some scenarios on that, but the point here is that if Elon's not doing that, then it kind of actually does matter what the share price is, because even though the proportion of the sale that is going to tax is basically the same, the number that Elon is left with after that does actually depend on what that, I guess for lack of a better term, spot price of Tesla would be. Whereas if you don't sell the remaining shares, well, it doesn't really matter too much because you kind of have the same share count regardless of what the price is. So we'll definitely have to see how this plays out, but maybe the most interesting part of this is what Elon intends to do with that cash once he does have it, about $12 billion or so. Maybe that goes into his other businesses, SpaceX, Neuralink Boring Company, or maybe it goes into something like the Texas Institute of Technology and Science. It's perhaps not coincidental that Elon started talking about that around the same time as all of this tech stuff starting to surface. Alright, so let's finally move on here, because as I said, I don't actually think this was the biggest news of the weekend. I think the biggest news of the weekend was the information that we're getting out of China. The China Passenger Car Association reports for the month of October are now finally published, and Tesla's wholesale sales, which again is retail plus exports, was 54,391 vehicles for October. So looking at our table here, that's 13,700 retail sales, so that's domestic sales in China, and then this was really, really driven by a strong export number, over 40,000 vehicles being exported. Putting again what China refers to as wholesale sales above 54,000, that's more than 20,000 above the first month of Q3, which was July. Now, it's very important to understand that this is not a production number, but as I said last week, I did expect production above 50,000 vehicles for October from Shanghai, despite downtime early in the month, and I was waiting for these numbers to come in to help give us a little bit more validity on that possibility. I think they very, very much have done that for a couple of reasons. If we look at the comparison between production and wholesale sales, particularly in the first month of quarters, which you can see in yellow here, so far, January, April, July, production has actually exceeded wholesale sales in each case. Furthermore, inventory buildup or drawdown tends to oscillate, so you'll build up and then you'll draw down. And the last 2 months, we had wholesale sales exceed production, meaning we're in a drawing down phase. I don't recall having seen that happen 3 months in a row, and Q3 as a whole was a drawdown. So based on previous patterns, it looks more likely that that would flip around again for October and production would exceed wholesale sales, or worst case, it really shouldn't trail it by much due to lack of available inventory. So you might say, well, who cares? September was 56,000, October 54,000, down month. But fortunately, you are a Tesla Daily listener, so you understand that there are more important implications here because we had a week of downtime to start October. Here's the description from Wuwa, who does drone videos of Shanghai in early October. He said, October 1st is the national day in China, and according to the law, the whole country will have 7 days off, and Tesla Shanghai factory is no exception. On his October 8th video then, he says, after a short national holiday, today the 8th, Tesla Shanghai Superfactory started its first working day. So let's go ahead and assume 55,000 vehicles produced from Shanghai for October, and let's flip over to our production tracking spreadsheet to see what that might imply for the rest of the quarter. So for Shanghai here, we've got 55,000. We can see our weekly rate here, it's 12,400 per week. That would be up from September, but we're not accounting for downtime there yet. So if we look over here, we can see the rates excluding October 1st and October 1st through the 7th. And these are just, the split here is a little bit arbitrary between 3 and Y, but in total, they're getting to 16,000 per week if we exclude that first week of downtime. So for the rest of the quarter here, let's just assume that they maintain 95% of that rate. We'll account for maybe a little bit of downtime in there. I looked at the Chinese calendar and there doesn't seem to be too much in terms of holidays. So we'll assume a 95% rate there for November and December. And if we see what the total looks like then for those 2 months, you've got 65,000 November, 67,500 in December. Again, just going off of 95% of the rate that they were able to hit in October and assuming no further ramp up in those 2 months, that would get Shanghai to 188,000 vehicles nearly for the total of fourth quarter versus 129,000 in Q3. just phenomenal, phenomenal growth if Tesla can hit a number like this. Then we flip over to Fremont, and there's a lot of potential here in Fremont too that I think people are maybe not really, you know, quite accounting for yet. So we've talked a bit about that, but if we just assume that Model 3 and Model Y hold the year-to-date production rates that they've had so far, so just the average from Q1 to Q3, that would put total Model 3 and Y production at 103,400 vehicles for Q4 from Fremont. Then let's say that the Model S and X ramps up by about the same amount that it was able to from Q2 to Q3, so about 6,000 more vehicles. If the Model S and X can do that in combination, it'd be about 15,500. So in total, between all these at Fremont, we'd be at 118,000 vehicles. It'd be higher than what we have seen in the past, but not anything crazy. So putting all of that together, total Q3 would be 306,650 vehicles. And again, I think there's a potential that November and December could be a bit better than that in Shanghai. Maybe there's a bit of liability here in Fremont. They've never done more than like 113,000. So even if you take 5,000 off of that, though, you're still above 300,000 for Q4. And this is not including anything from Berlin and from Texas. So the potential here for Tesla for Q4 is really, really, really great. And really, Shanghai is doing amazing things that are not going to be fully appreciated because people do not understand this downtime like we're going to here. So even with a little bit of downtime there, the numbers for Q4 that you're going to be seeing here, let me unhide those, you'd be looking at 71% growth year over year, 29% growth over Q4. It's what, 70,000 more vehicles. And we saw how strong the financials were in Q3. This would just be spreading out those costs over even more vehicles, whether it's the fixed costs of operations or the depreciation from the factory. So a lot to be excited about here in Q4, particularly being driven by Shanghai. So look, there's a lot of quarter to go. There could be production challenges, but I think what's important is that Tesla is now showing the capability of hitting numbers like this. Maybe supply chains or whatever are going to hold them back temporarily. But if Tesla can get in this ballpark, that's a 1.2 million vehicle run rate just from Fremont and Shanghai combined. That's actually higher than the analyst consensus was for 2022 heading into the Q3 earnings report. It was just below 1.2 million. I'm sure they've risen after Q3, but it's incredible for Tesla to show that kind of potential from Fremont and Shanghai before even accounting for Texas and Berlin. So to me, this is much bigger news than Elon not reinvesting some of his forced liquidity. As I said, we do still have a decent amount of other news, so we'll go through this pretty quickly just to try to get this out at a reasonable hour to you all. One thing I mentioned was analyst updates. So we heard from Wedbush today. They've actually increased their bull case price target on Tesla from $1,500 per share now up to $1,800 per share, basically on margin strength and then also the Hertz deal. And analyst Dan Ives was not too bothered by Elon Musk potentially selling, saying, quote, "Today Musk owns roughly 23% of Tesla, and it was viewed by many on the street that he would sell up to 5 to 6% of his ownership stake, with 10% being a higher amount that could surprise some investors, but ultimately, it's a digestible number we are not overly concerned about," end quote. We also got an update from Jefferies today. They have increased their price target on Tesla from $950 per share to $1,400 per share, saying, quote, "Like in 2020, Tesla's price is sending a warning of relevance to traditional and also challenger OEMs. With an acceleration of self-funded growth in Q3 and unheard of returns at a brand price point moving towards volume segments, Tesla looks more scaled up today than most OEMs and in position to turn the legacy zero-sum game into a negative one," end quote. They're also slowly coming along to Tesla's targets here. They say, quote, "We have long resisted the idea Tesla could sell 20 million units by 2030, given the industry's size, strategic importance, and political support. We still do, but conviction is weaker considering the accelerating gap in growth and profitability," end quote. Looks like we've also got an increased price target from Northeast Securities up to $1,380. Not much coverage on that today. Looks like it was just a Bloomberg Terminal report. Next is a pretty interesting update on the Tesla Semi. So PepsiCo CEO was on CNBC today. Of course, they have orders for Tesla Semis. And those came up when talking about reducing the company's emissions. And the CEO actually gave a timeline. So I want to play that short clip here.
"And we're already starting to buy electric trucks, actually, from Tesla. I mean, I don't want to promote anybody, but that's the brand we're using so far. And we're getting our first deliveries this Q4. So it's something we started a few years ago. We're working with Tesla." But
so you can kind of hear there, he says Q4, and it sounds like he says this Q4. which would be pretty surprising because at the annual shareholder meeting about a month ago, Elon did say that they're really kind of hoping to be producing the Semi in 2023. Because of that, I'm not putting a ton of weight in these comments. This could just be something that is sort of outdated and stuck in the head of the CEO. But on the other hand, we did have reports earlier this year that Tesla was looking to deliver 15 semis to Pepsi before the end of the year. And we also had a report about Tesla installing a mega charger on Pepsi premises. So it's definitely not impossible, and maybe Tesla will give Pepsi a small fleet to basically beta test with, even if they don't expect volume production really until 2023. So I wouldn't view this, even if it does happen, as necessarily bullish for the semi timeline. Elon expressed that, hey, we're just supply constrained and that's why. But even if this is more of a test type of capacity, would still be really exciting to see some of that happening this year. All right, next up here, this is from the tail end of last week, but we haven't had a chance to discuss it yet. Tesla has raised prices again on the Model 3 and the Model Y, increasing all versions by $1,000 a piece. So the base Model 3 now starts at just under $45,000, $7,000 more expensive than it was to start the year. And the long-range Model Y starts at $58,000, $8,000 more expensive than at the beginning of the year. As we've seen in the financials, yes, costs are increasing industry-wide, and Tesla's had to deal with a lot of that stuff too, but Tesla's growth in volume has largely counteracted that, and a lot of this is just going to be margin accretive. It's going to be a bit before that gets fully realized, but the rise in volume combined with the rise in prices is not normally something you would see, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with margin because of that. All right, last item today, as we'll end up pushing a couple of non-time sensitive things into tomorrow's episode, but the last thing for today is that Tesla has received a notice of approval from the Public Utility Commission of Texas to become a retail provider of electricity under the name of Tesla Energy Ventures. So very early stages for Tesla Energy in Texas. I think at the annual shareholder meeting, they talked about a 100 megawatt hour storage project, but obviously a ton of potential there, and it'll be exciting to watch that develop. So that's where we'll leave it for today. Please let me know if there's anything you feel like I missed from that assessment of Elon's selling or not selling decision. I'm definitely not a tax professional, that's just my understanding, so if anything is incorrect on that, I'll definitely make sure to update. And yeah, let me know what you expect out of China. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter @TeslaPodcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, November 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.